I'm Evan Kleiman, and this is Good Food. When Chef Uwen Lei opened Bea'u in LA's Virgil Village, she had a simple goal: pay her workers a living wage without accelerating gentrification in her neighborhood. That's not always a given in the restaurant world. In fact, it's shockingly uncommon. But Lei had a background in city planning and economic development. It hasn't been easy, but she's managed to build a business founded on equity and sustainability while honoring the Vietnamese food she grew up eating. Bea'u is the subject of this week's In the Weeds.
My name's Uyen Lei, and I am the chef owner of Bea'u, which serves Vietnamese street food and comfort food. Bea'u is a restaurant that has three main goals: to serve fresh and flavorful food at prices affordable in a rent-controlled neighborhood, and to create good working conditions and professional development opportunities. Food was the topic of our breakfast conversation, and while we were eating lunch and while we were eating dinner, we would talk about more food. It was also a source of comfort. We also try to sit down together and eat as many meals as possible. So I think food and family really come hand in hand, two almost felt like the same thing. I come from a background with probably 15, 20 years doing community organizing, also working in the Vietnamese American community, specifically after Hurricane Katrina, on rebuilding, but also community empowerment. And then after that, I went to city planning school and I worked in the labor rights and economic justice movements in Los Angeles before quitting those endeavors and going back to culinary school and then working in kitchens for a few years before opening up my own restaurant. I've always been really attracted to food, but also the business of food and the folks who work in the restaurant industry. I think it's an area that's so pervasive that we interact with folks all the time because people have to eat several times a day and they make choices about what they put into their own bodies and then also where they spend their money. And I still wanted to continue with my lifelong pursuit of social and economic justice and equity and access, but I wanted to have kind of a small enough venue, so to speak, in order to meet some of these values that I had, that I was kind of working on these large kind of billion-dollar funds, but I wanted something that I can really kind of put my arms around and try to bring my values, even if it's small, that I felt like it was something that could really be something that I can work with and grow. I think restaurants have a large role to play in reimagining sustainability and workers' rights because workers have so low visibility, especially back-of-house workers in restaurants, and yet folks are eating out so often, and even when they're getting takeout, that, you know, there are all these kind of hands that touch the food before they do. And I just think that it's something that so many people interact with daily, and that there's so many opportunities for how we can grow this industry and create more sustainable opportunities in this industry, but also increase understanding of the consuming public, because I think a lot of folks do take food very personally, and I think it's an entry point to talk about issues like workers' rights and sustainability that seem more accessible to consumers. To be honest, I'm still trying to find the balance between what affordability means for our guests and then having livable wages for my team, especially when the food itself is so prep heavy to meet my other goal, which is to have fresh and flavorful food that we basically make from scratch. And so I don't think that I have some key to this three goals yet that I'm trying to achieve, but I'm working on it. And I think to come in to a business with these values and not prioritize necessarily one over the other two is really what I'm trying to do. But the next steps really are trying to calibrate these different things and then finding, you know, more efficiencies on how the staff operates, trying to find a better workflow, and then also trying to define what affordability means. Is it every item on the menu? Is it certain items? Is it trying to find some sliding scale charges that I can create so that folks who can afford more do pay more? So I'm still trying to work these things out. We're just a little over a year old, and so can't say I have any types of solutions right now, but those are the values that I'm going to continue to have and bring to the business. When people say that they can find something cheaper in Little Saigon or San Gabriel Valley, my response is that, yes, you absolutely can, but it won't be the version that we have. And I think that there's a lot to be said about what quality means, and then also that not just the quality of the food itself and that the care that goes into it, but the quality of the service, and then also what other types of positive impacts come from investing basically with your money on where you spend it as a consumer. But really, you know, I just tell people, yes, you're right. You can find a banh mi cheaper in San Gabriel Valley or Orange County, but it won't be our version. Vietnamese food representation, I think, a lot of times has been sort of distilled down to pho dishes, you know, like the beef noodle soup, but that just one specific type of noodle soup. And Vietnam's such a large country with so many different regions, you know, 1,700 miles of coastline, that I think there are so many dishes that don't necessarily get the popular attention or isn't, you know, that first dish that somebody thinks of. And also at the same time, I think there's a reason I don't call my food traditional and I don't call it authentic, because I feel like food always evolves and food in Vietnam is evolving. It's not some sort of thing that you put in a museum. And because Vietnamese food to me really means fresh, full of flavor, with a lot of contrast and textures, with a lot of care that's put into kind of layering different flavors and different textures together in a specific way, that I think it has so much to offer. This is my first restaurant that I've ever owned and been a chef of. I think calling Beau a model right now, quite honestly, would just be a bit premature. I'm still just every day, this is the name of this show, like in the weeds, trying to figure stuff out. If somebody's to come to the restaurant this weekend, I'd recommend definitely the braised pork belly and eggs dish. It really is a dish that's very comforting. You can taste these different items in there whose textures have changed, and it's just transformed into something different by spending time with each other. I'd also probably tell someone to get the banh mi sandwich. Even the vegan one, I've spent a lot of time coming up with the vegan pate recipe that I feel like can stand up to the bread. The customer favorites a lot of times really is the popcorn chicken with the fried curry leaves, and then our summer rolls, which of different kinds. The one that I created for the menu is also vegan in that it has avocado on the inside and then seared oyster mushrooms just right on the outside, but still encased in a thin piece of rice paper. And I wanted to do a vegan version that would create some new excitement about the possibilities of what you can wrap in rice paper.
That was Uyen Le, chef and owner of Beo on Hoover Street near Clinton in the area between Silver Lake and East Hollywood. Special thanks to Kenny Ng for helping to produce that segment. If you missed any of today's show, listen at kcrw.com/goodfood or on KCRW's mobile app. You can also subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, or Spotify. I can't even express my thanks to the Good Food team. Jillian Ferguson, Laurel Garcia, Elena Shatkin, Desmond Taylor, Nick Lamponi, and PJ Shahamat. And special thanks, as always, to Chrissy Van Meter, Laura Kondarajan, and Gary Masiha. I'm Evan Kleiman, wishing you a healthy and happy holiday season. I'll be back next year with more episodes of Good Food.